become his, but his is attached to the house.
Okay.
So you were well prepared for tonight. And I swear, so like, Chris brought. I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, June 19th, 2018 board meeting. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga.
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Here.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Here.
Mr. Whitman.
Here.
Mr. Begany.
Here. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I think call to order is in there. I think we're all set for that. Item 2.01, approval of, I bet you that's where it's supposed to be, agenda. No, there we go, never mind. Approval 2.01, approval of the May 15th, 2018 regular board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman, second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion?
I do have a slight bit of discussion. I just wanted to make sure, because the appendix only has three different board members, was that all that was submitted?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Aye.
Mr. Begany.
Aye. Motion passed. Item 3.01, approval of the agenda. Mr. Superintendent, do we have any changes this evening?
We do. We have a number of personnel additions since Friday, and we removed some items under business and operations that we are going to take under further consideration for later proposal.
Anything moving as far as the order of operations for the evening?
We'd like to move Section 6 up to Section 5.
Okay. So those of you that will be speaking tonight will get to do so earlier. All right. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Questenberry. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Barga.
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mr. Begany.
Aye. Motion's passed. Items 4.01. Board members may speak on different topics at this time. Mr. Barga, we'll lead off with you.
Oh, yay. I only actually have two updates this meeting, so I should be short and sweet. I was pleased to participate in our graduation. I thought it was quite enjoyable, and I was also honored to present and award the Richard Daughtry. Did I get the last name
Daughtry.
Right? Daughtry?
Daugherty.
Daugherty, thank you. Linguistics guy. Scholarship at HS Square to a truly deserving student. Every single one of us in the board voted that student in the top five of our candidates, and the reality is the student is absolutely amazing. Frankly, I think the graduation is so far my favorite part of being on the board. It's a lot of fun. The other point of note is, in order to help streamline the process, avoid any unneeded drama, keep legal concerns private as they should be, Superintendent Brown and I have come to somewhat of an agreement. Contracts that will be up to the board to vote on once they're drafted, I'll be just getting a copy of those so I can take a look and talk to legal with any concerns I may have. Any policy changes will not be touched with legal. That's obviously the right of the board, not my personal right. So that will be reserved for the body. I'm just going to look at the legal clauses, that sort of thing, which gets brought up occasionally. Hopefully it'll eliminate the contentious debates over the terminology and clauses, and I'll talk a little bit later about one of those specifically.
All right. Mrs. Dunlap?
Thank you all for coming out on such a wet night. My shoes were squishing when I walked in. It was a river going down the parking lot. But thank you all for coming out. Again, graduation was amazing, and that's one of my favorite nights throughout the year. My mouth or my face hurts when I'm done. I've been smiling so much. It's such a wonderful, wonderful night to be able to give those hugs and those congratulations to those students who are just so elated. I'm going to be brief and really not give too many comments tonight because my committee notes are not lengthy, but they're a little long. So thank you again all for coming out, and have a great summer.
Mr. Whitman.
Thanks, everybody, for coming out. And yes, the echo the thoughts about the graduation and the Daugherty Award. I had some thoughts about dress code recently, and so I should preface this right at the outset that no, we are not going to make any changes to the dress code for the coming year. So everybody wondering, you know, what to shop for, just go to the website and view the same policy that we voted on 2 years ago. But the reason I had been thinking about it is, I like to take whatever invitations I can to visit the various schools, and it seems like when I go to the, you know, in the high school buildings, I notice more people out of code than in it. And, you know, it's no skin off my nose, really, but it's kind of like, dang, we voted on this thing. We tried to make it, you know, more easy and more easily enforceable, but, you know, apparently even that, it's still, you know, too much to try to enforce. And I'm not calling for more enforcement. That's not my job. But it does kind of rub me the wrong way that, you know, that there are, you know, rules that we have in place that they're not being enforced, and so I would like to see them. I would like to see the enforcement and the actual rules brought into alignment. So, I think that there do need to be some more changes in dress code eventually. And again, we're not going to do it now because we got too many other more important things we need to work on for the next year, as Mr. Superintendent can comment on a little bit later. But yeah, you know, hoodies everywhere, lots of writing on the shirts, different fabrics for the pants, and all the things that we remember debating on. I say, yeah, well, they're all there. And even my own son goes to school. Maybe I should cap the mic here. I'll tell him, hey, you know, that's not in code, right? And he said, well, it's okay, Dad. You know, as long as you're just kind of playing, not causing trouble, they're not gonna bust you. And I said, well, I don't like that. That's you know, discriminatory enforcement. And then who they do choose to bust can be a problem. So, anyway, those are my thoughts, and I look forward to there being more discussions on these sort of over the course of the next school year. So.
Okay. Mrs. Quisenberry.
Thank you. Again, graduation was wonderful. I do owe an apology to a young man who totally threw me off. He walked up to Mr. Whitman and said, thank you, Mr. Whitman. Mr. Barga, thank you, Mr. Barga, and then came to me and said, thank you, Mrs. Quisenberry, said my name right. I was so not expecting that I didn't even congratulate him. So congratulations, whoever you are. But it was very impressive that he knew us, and Mr. Barga and I both kind of had a wow moment. Prior to the graduation, I had attended a pre-graduation program, and I did not make my presence known to the administrator. Didn't feel I needed to. I wasn't there for me. But this principal announced that Mr. Whitman was there. And Mr. Whitman said, oh, you forgot Ms. Quisenberry. So I got a lot of apologies from this person. In fact, even at graduation night, this person apologized again. And I said, it's not a problem for me. But this person expressed that it had been a problem in the past. And that really bothered me, because that is not our role as a board, that we should be intimidating or making anybody feel uncomfortable. So speaking for myself, since none of them knew that I was going to say this, speaking for myself, I apologize to anybody who ever felt that way, because you shouldn't. That shouldn't be something you ever have to experience with the boards or administration in general. And then lastly, in July, I'll be putting together a resolution that states that our children and families are welcome in our district. This comes from me really being bothered by our immigrants that are fighting for their children right now. And being a child advocate, I just can't sit back and do nothing. So in talking with some people and trying to make this a non-political statement, because we can't, it really is, because as educators, our job is to educate children. And to make them feel welcome. So come July, I will be presenting a resolution to the board. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, thank you. Don't know how to follow up on that one. All right, I'll get the bad news out of the way first. August 3rd through 5th is the tax holiday for back-to-school shopping. All right, so that's it. So I'm going to go ahead and move on from that because I see the teachers already giving me looks in the audience. I do want to say something. You know, when we talk about resolutions and things like that, one of the things that this board talked about in the past is House Bill 512, which was the consolidation of the Department of Education, which thankfully seems to have been put on hold. We can go ahead and take credit for that if we like, but I think enough voices kind of prove that when everybody's saying the same thing, that our state representatives are actually listening to us and we can make a difference, and this is no different from any other resolutions that we have passed or ones that we'll certainly pass in the future. So those are really the only items that I have other than thank you for braving the rains as we are coming in. And now we're going to go ahead and move on to committee reports. We will start off with buildings and grounds.
Okay. So we had our buildings and grounds buildings and grounds committee meeting on June 11th with myself and board member Whitman and our director of operations and services, Chris Reed. So first of all, we talked about the master service agreement for core services through Meta Services for the 2018-2019 school year. That's up for approval tonight. Meta is an information technology center comprised of a consortium of member school districts and is organized as a regional council of government under the Ohio Revised Code. They provide our district with technology and data services to help track student information, for example, like PowerSchool and EMIS. We discussed the contract and its renewal. We were paying early in order to take advantage of some savings and discounts available. This is a yearly renewal. Secondly, we talked about the addendum to the building lease agreement between Everest High School and Reynoldsburg's Board of Education. That's being placed on our agenda tonight. Mr. Barker had some issue with some language, and we talked about the verbiage. I'm not going to go over the whole thing because we did discuss this last month, but suffice to say that the original agreement provided to board members gave some clarity to that. Again, that will be on the agenda tonight. We discussed an update for the large screen in the PAC at Reynoldsburg High School Summit Campus. Again, we talked at length about this. The total cost for the replacement is $31,100 with Tiffin, Scenic, Converse, Electric, and Live Technologies. Now, Live Technologies, we understand, does a lot of concert and live venue work, so this was right up their alley. They're about the only company, after a lot of research, that could provide us with the technology to be able to replace this. We're not replacing the screen, but the mechanism that it is attached to, which allows it to lower and raise back up. It's actually, as Mr. Whitman said last month, actually warped. So it is chained up right now. It's a very large system, and as I said, much work and research was required in order to come up with a vendor that was willing to work with us on this. It was originally cost out at $80,000, but was negotiated for $31,000, a significant savings. Work is expected to be completed this summer, and as part of this work, it had to integrate with our own systems. Fourth, we discussed the need for an increase in lunch prices by 25 cents. This increase is due to an increase in participation, which I guess is a very good problem to have. It requires 5 additional new staff members. We're still on the low end of lunch prices in Central Ohio, which is good news. They have some major funding savings for food services, but we need to replace some major equipment, so we are reserving that funding for that equipment replacement. As discussed at the Buildings and Grounds Committee meeting and here, water heaters throughout the district are in need of replacement. There are two at each building, one for backup, and several of the buildings in the schools are already on the backup. A plumbing and drain professional supplied a low quote, the lowest quote, for $140,656. They're already doing work in our district to our satisfaction, so that's good news. This will be brought back to the board in July for approval. at the May Buildings and Grounds meeting, we saw what I call the Binford 2000 plan, if anybody understands that, from Shore Architects, which is very well respected in the area. I reported and worked with them significantly when I was reporting on Whitehall's 5-building replacement. But unfortunately, we don't have the funds budgeted to complete the overall plan that Shore Architects presented to us. It was about $5 million, which would require its own PI levy. So Mr. Reed and his staff conducted their own analysis to prioritize the list of needs. B&B Ceiling of Columbus came up with the lowest bid. They were the lowest responsible bidder with the amount of $315,205. So without going into a lot of detail, Livingston Campus, Hannah Ashton Middle School, Wagner Road Middle School, Wagner Road Junior, French Run, Herbert Mills, and Rose Hill will be getting some work done, and that will be completed this summer. We also discussed the need to replace some flooring in our district over the summer to include Baldwin Road, Fab Lab, that is required by the Turo Fire Department, Summit Elementary, 4 classrooms, peeling up from when that building was built, Livingston Campus back hallway, just old and need of repair, and Livingston Campus entry, not the back hallway, but the entry, again, old and need of some replacement. The board is being asked to waive our own board purchasing policy, which has a threshold of only $25,000 and hasn't been updated to reflect current bidding threshold for school construction projects. So we are being asked to approve this contract tonight in accordance with Ohio Revised Code, which has a threshold of $50,000. Now, just as a note, because we discussed this a little bit, we discussed the need, for example, to replace the flooring at Summit, and that building is not very old. And we could talk and replace, or talk and debate about why we feel that this needs to be replaced in some of these buildings that are not very old. I was not on the board, but suffice to say that I feel very confident that Mr. Reed's accountability when it comes to contracting and overseeing work is being done currently in the district. I'm very confident in that, and it is very thorough. As a Buildings and Grounds Committee member, we are also dedicated to quality work. Thus, our request, Mr. Whitman and myself, nearly a year ago, to have monthly meetings concerning our HVAC and LED systems. We wanted updates monthly on that to see how that rather large project was going. So, I am confident that moving forward, quality materials and quality work will be done. As discussed prior, the Buildings and Grounds Committee recommends that the board approve an update to our security camera and DVR systems. We talked about this as well. It's a $170,000 contract to Mobile Tech Systems through our single source exemption. We discussed this prior, but just to remind everyone that, you know, so many of the cameras that we have now are analog and the video is very fuzzy, very hard to see. DVR technology allows for videos that sometimes is only 8 days of recording, which is also very problematic. That will be on next month for a vote. Lots of surplus this month as everyone has been spring cleaning, especially the band folks. We discussed the possibility of offering deli sandwiches instead of cheese sandwiches to students who did not have lunch money or who are delinquent on their account payment. This would be the same deli sandwich offered on the regular menu. It would cost the district about 17 cents more per sandwich and may be a very viable, healthy, and responsible option. This is now being referred to the policy committee as it involves current lunch policy, so more later from the policy committee. Following upgrades to bathrooms at the bus garage, problems with the sewer lines were discovered. They needed draining about once a week to the tune of $1,000 each time, luckily three or four times. I think I saw lots of trucks out there today, earlier up the street a little bit and then later on down. We're lucky that Mr. Reed and his folks got on that very quickly, and the repairs are being made once the city has located these sewage lines themselves. As a committee, we looked at some of the current finances and budgeting of the operations department. Mr. Reed has taken upon himself this year to really get into the weeds, per se, and track all the department spending on a weekly basis, all spending. And I think Mr. Whitman and myself, if I can speak for Mr. Whitman, have been very impressed with the degree to which Mr. Reed and his folks are tracking these items and in each expense account. So to date, Mr. Reed and his folks can boast of a cost avoidance of about $400,000. That represents 19% of his total budget. So congratulations. We discussed the need and desire for a system for recognizing classified employees in our district. I personally asked for this about 2.5 years ago, and happy to say that we expect to see something more concrete in the form of proposals to come to fruition later on this year. I know Mr. Brown and I have talked about that as well. Mr. Whitman also inquired about the status of the investigation into the missing innards of our HVAC control panels, which later surfaced, but were the catalyst for many of our HVAC problems. That investigation was turned over to our attorneys, and the report is forthcoming. We hope to have that soon. And finally, if you've ever ridden a horse, you always end on a good note. So, I also serve on the steering committee for the community mural. And we recently had a meeting. Adam H. and the artists are in the final stages of input from the community. In fact, the district and I, and many others here already, have shared a website for additional input. The artists will come back to the steering committee in July with 3 final designs. We will vote on one or a combination of 2. And the steering committee will recommend one. The steering committee is made up of a number of school and community representatives. We've been very conscious that this is not a school project Adam H. is sponsoring. This is a community event. The final design will be presented to the board in August. The painting will begin in September on a Reynoldsburg High School's Livingston Campus Theater outside the wall facing Livingston Avenue for 3 weekends in September. It's done like a paint by numbers. The artist comes in, draws it all in, puts the numbers in, and the entire community comes in and paints. I don't think this is going to go up the very tall wall of the theater, as that would preclude many community members from painting, because that's a heck of a liability. So again, this is a community project. We want everyone to come out. The reveal will be in October with funding provided by Adam H., which I was so happy to hear, and will be coordinated through the Reynoldsburg City School District. So a big party, a big community event, and a beautiful piece of public art that will help to bring our community together. And that's it. Was I thorough enough? I told you we're not going to have to talk later.
We'll move on from that unless Mr. Whitman has anything to add.
Nope.
Moving on to policy committee, we had a policy meeting this week, and it's a lot of fun. basically, a lot of these are things that are being requested for us to put in policy by the state. They've been vetted by the firm that we use is called NEOLA, and their attorneys have gone through it. The biggest questions that I've gotten before we start actually going through the individual items as we move through the agenda this evening, biggest question I have is one which is a conflict of interest clause, and I know a lot of teachers were worried about exactly what that meant. Basically, the idea is this. If you're tutoring a student that is, that you're getting extra money for, you can still tutor students. I know we have music teachers that do this. We have math teachers, extra things like that. The only thing they cannot do is use it on school grounds. They can't have it at the school buildings themselves because that's a dual purpose, and that's where the conflict of interest comes in. So that is one thing that I don't know how much of that has occurred in the past. Now, this is just paid tutoring. If you're tutoring after school just because you're tutoring after school and other programs, things like that, then that's different. You can still use our facilities, correct me if I'm wrong. And then if there's some sort of other school-funded tutoring opportunities, those are able to happen at the schools themselves. But these are things to keep us in line to make sure that there are no issues with conflict of interest. Not that there are. But again, it's something that the state regulators are looking at to move forward. Madam Treasurer, did you want to? I know you've worked on this extensively. Are there anything specific you want to? That I left out.
No, you covered those pretty well. Those are actually federal policies. In order to receive federal grant money, we were required to have these policies with that kind of language in place.
Okay. There are a number of them, and as we get to the discussion part later, I'm sure it will be a little bit of a robust discussion. They're on for discussion this time, so hopefully what we'll do is we'll kind of get an understanding of what these are, if there are any questions, and then refer them to our council, and then hopefully have a decision on these when we get back in July, which will be here before we know it. Anything else from policy?
No.
Okay. All right. So that's all for item 4.02. Now we're going to go ahead and move up to 6.01. I'd like to welcome Mr. Melvin Carter down to speak with us about school safety. Please make sure you present your name, address, the topic to be discussed, which I did most of it for you. It is a limit of 5 minutes, and just make sure that no issues are politically directed, angry, yelling, and all this other fun stuff that is part of board policy. Hasn't happened in a long time, so looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
I will stop at the 5 minute time. If we go over, I will, I have brought along with me a copy of my presentation for this evening. Should I have to stop early? I'd like to, for each of you to go through it.
And we're usually lenient with that, but it's just something that's in policy that we say.
Thank you.
Okay. It won't take me very long, but I do feel it's important to discuss.
Thank you. Again, I'll keep it brief. But you can follow along with me. It is a word-for-word copy of what I have to say this evening. As many of you know, I've met all of you, but just two of you. Mr. Barga met you this evening. My name is Melvin Harder. I'm a Reynoldsburg resident. And again, you can follow along with me if you'd like. And a graduate of Reynoldsburg High School, 97, and a college graduate as well. I'm a proud parent of five, of which three of my children are currently enrolled in the Reynoldsburg School District. I was born and raised in the city of Reynoldsburg, and I have a vested interest in our community. My parents moved here in the 70s and established a church and several early education centers for the children. Growing up, my family owned and operated child care centers and a Christian school for grades K through 12. All of my life, I've been around childhood education, and two of my sisters serve in their communities today as school teachers, one working on her master's for principal. Tonight, I'm here to call to your attention some a serious matter that far exceed the importance of education, budgets, and district policies. My concerns have been ongoing and date back to September of last year when I initially brought these same issues to the attention of the school principal, the superintendent, and to four of you board members. Let's see. Yes, because two of you, I hadn't met till this evening, so three of the board members. The particular school I refer to this evening is Taylor Road Elementary. I have had several in-depth conversations with Principal Johnson and with Superintendent Melvin Brown regarding the ongoing safety issues at this school. Our 8-year-old daughter attended third grade this past school year. While she was enrolled there, there were several times that my child's safety and the safety of over 400 other children who attend Taylor Road was put at risk at the hands of the staff. I have brought these instances to the attention of both Ms. Johnson and Mr. Brown since that September time. But two issues I'd like to bring to your attention this evening. First of all, Taylor Road Elementary is considered by definition an unsecured campus, having an open playground that is accessible by anyone who walks onto the campus. The track that goes around the perimeter of the property is 0.3 miles in length and connects to the adjacent residences around the property. I found that children from ages 6 years old and up were required to walk one lap around the track directly after lunch before recess as a healthy choice initiative. In addition, I discovered that Taylor Road Elementary implements corporal punishment by forcing children to walk additional laps for misbehavior or misconduct in the classroom. I learned of this last September when my daughter's teacher informed me that her daily agenda was not properly signed and that she would have to walk those laps. Keep in mind that no specific instructions were ever provided to my wife or myself via open house, which we attended, school website updates. I also had a parent meeting initiated by myself. Nothing was mentioned there, and I never received a letter home from the teacher. This procedure is inexcusable and is the exact contradiction of the PBIS that we have adopted. In addition, it is important to recognize that the children walk alone and are not accompanied by any adult. At no time were teachers ever present on the track or stationed anywhere along the 1,600-foot path. I observed the students during their recess time on several different occasions, along with Mr. Brown, and found that children were being released from lunch as they finished eating and they walk the path alone or with two or three peers of their same age. During my observation, I also discovered that there was only one teacher present at the time that the children were released, and a second teacher followed shortly thereafter. Sadly, both teachers remained stationary on the asphalt directly behind the school for the entire recess time while the children walked on the path alone. This put a great amount of distance between the students and between the staff. Remember that when walking the laps, the children come within 15 feet of neighboring residential properties and are put at a distance of nearly 500 feet from the nearest teacher that's on the asphalt behind the school. Some of the properties along the path do not have a barrier between them and the school property. In addition, there are areas on both the north and the south sides of the track. One of them runs alongside the condominium development there, and the other opens up to Priestley Drive. In discussing my concerns with the staff, Mr. Nick Kiesel, your Director of Safety and Security, stated via email, "This is nothing new and has been concerned for quite some time." He went on to say, "The unsecured playground and large area is no doubt a vulnerability." He, along with Mr. Heater, observed the area during recess time and informed me on September the 19th that Principal Johnson would assign a staff member to walk with the children, at which point I was satisfied. However, that did not happen. On October the 4th, I then sent another email to the board. I stated that children were still walking unattended around the track. It took over a month of conversations, emails, and meetings with the staff, superintendent, as well, to finally get movement and find a resolution. A simple resolution that should have come about much sooner. I am glad to say that the track has been temporarily closed off, thanks to Mr. Kiesel, and to the students until a long-term solution has been found. But this does bring up the discussion of a more permanent structure being in place, such as a fence. Again, I remind you that I am the father of five children who are with me this evening, and I'm very concerned about the safety and the well-being of my children, the 400-some students at Taylor Road, and the over 7,000 students district-wide. When I send my children to school, I'm entrusting you with their safety. I realize that a permanent structure such as a fence is costly, but you cannot put a price on our children's safety. The safety of the children at Taylor Road is at grave risk, and there is no price tag on their children, for they are our future, and we should invest in them. The second issue that I have this evening is the unsupervised indoor recess. This brings me to my final and most recent concern. On April 17th, my daughter was injured in the classroom when another child pulled a seat out from under her, causing my daughter to fall, hit her tailbone on the floor, and her head against a desk. But no call came home from the school. No incident report was taken at the time. I was only informed of the incident by my daughter when she arrived home after school. Looking further into this, I found that her teacher was not even present in the classroom. In fact, there was no teacher present in the classroom when the incident occurred. And there was no teacher in the classroom for over 30 minutes. And speaking with the teacher and with Principal Johnson both, they confirmed that during the indoor recess times, children are left alone. During indoor recess times, children are left alone in their classroom so the teacher can go to lunch. Keep in mind that indoor recess takes place on rain days, snow days, and days of extreme outdoor temperatures, and we know how the weather in Ohio can be unpredictable. Principal Johnson stated, and I quote, "Each classroom does not have an adult physically present in it during the entire indoor recess time." She went on to say that two teachers from the hallway monitor four classrooms, which is around 120 students. That's a ratio of one teacher per 60 students. If a classroom should get loud, a teacher stops in to help quiet them down. Unfortunately, this puts the responsibility of action on 8-year-old children. What happens in the case of an injury? Should a fire break out? Child has a seizure, some allergic reaction. According to Principal Johnson, she tells me, the child would have to either leave the classroom and locate a teacher or make a great amount of noise in hopes to gaining the teacher's attention so he or she would come quiet them down. Unfortunately, my daughter's injury did not get the attention of the teachers and went unnoticed for the remaining portion of the school day. Due to the fall, our daughter suffered severe pain in her tailbone and in the back of her head. Out of concern for her well-being, we took her to Nationwide Children's Hospital where they performed x-rays and prescribed a high doses of pain medication, and I have them listed here. Three medications she had to take for 2 weeks' time. I have with me tonight the discharge papers from the hospital. She took these medications for nearly 2 weeks to help her get through each day at school. During the two-week time period, she complained of constant pain in her tailbone area, so great that it was difficult to use the restroom. And she took a pillow with her to school each day to help soften her seat. During this time, her mother and I never received a single phone call, email, a note home, anything with an apology or checkup on her child's situation. I emailed Principal Johnson and informed her of the incident, of which she was unaware that it even took place. I also suggested several ideas that could serve as potential options to allow the children to be supervised during the indoor recess time. One suggestion I made was to have recess. Would it be possible to have recess in the... Oh, there we go. Should I start over? Have recess in the... you might actually want to turn that back up. In the gym, so that all four classes could be directly monitored. Here's the response that I received from Ms. Johnson. I was surprised at the response that I received. Quote, "I feel comfortable with the level of supervision we have in place with the two teachers monitoring. However, if you would prefer Hannah, spend her recess in the office so that she can have more direct supervision during indoor recess time, we're happy to accommodate." And let me just say one thing. If the parents knew of this, I would to God that all 400 students would show up in that principal's office and say, "Watch us." Because that was a very disappointing response. After getting nowhere with Principal Johnson, I brought this to the attention of our superintendent, Mr. Brown, who only referred the issue back to the principal. And to date, there has been no change to the indoor recess procedure. The teachers still leave for lunch, leaving the four classes unattended, or attended as I mentioned, each having upwards of 30-some children in each classroom. These are 8-year-old children that are being unsupervised for over 30 minutes time, or indirectly supervised, as the principal says. I call it unsupervised. Let me also state that I will not allow my child to be punished by missing her recess time due to your lack of supervision. So once again, I escalate this concern back to Superintendent Brown and to this board this evening. In closing, I would like for you to consider the concerns that I have revisited again this evening. By being here, I have followed your process, escalating to the highest educational office in our district. Going forward, here's what I would like. Number one, the school staff and the district administration to recognize our children's safety as the single most top priority above education, budgets, and policies. Number two, I would like to see a district-wide discipline policy that I have requested since last September, in writing that clearly outlines the expectations of the students and a corrective action plan. Thirdly, I'd like parental notification when a child or a student fails to adhere to the discipline policy and what the corrective action was that was taken by the staff. I'd like a note or an email or something to come home. Fourth, I'd like the school and the superintendent to be willing to listen to all parents when it comes to concerns, suggestions, and ideas. Number five, lastly, I'd like for the staff and the administration to seek immediate corrective action when legitimate concerns are brought forth, not wait 30 days. One final recommendation to Mr. Brown, our superintendent. I would like for you to consider an advisory committee made up of parents who have children enrolled in our district. A group of individuals who can speak from a heart of concern for the safety and the well-being of our children so that you can be directly advised on any further concerns going forward. I ask the board that you please address these concerns within a reasonable amount of time so we can get closure and all of us can feel safer sending our children to school. Thank you. That's it.
I know you and I talked at great length on a number of occasions.
Talked with many of you at great length, yes.
I had no knowledge of the most recent event as far as the classroom incident. That is something that I had not been made.
That's something I did not bring up to the board.
A number of things. I know we did make a lot of corrections with it, and I know the timing is suspect. I don't believe the students are walking the line as it were currently.
As of last May, I checked with our daughter, and she said students are still walking laps, not around the large track, but they're still made to walk laps as punishment around the indoor track, or the asphalt track.
Then these are things that we can certainly review with the superintendent and his administrative team to come up with a plan prior to the beginning of the next school year. As far as a number of other things you mentioned, an advisory committee, I know the superintendent is putting in place an advisory committee for the strategic plan. We've actually met, how many times? Twice so far?
Twice.
With additional meetings forthcoming, and then that actually will be used for, if I recall, multiple emails, class surveys, everything going out to the districts, members of the parents to get a wider view other than those that are on the committee itself. I know there's representatives of the committee from every grade level as far as like the high school grade level.
I'm sorry, are we speaking of the student committee, advisory committee?
No, I'm speaking, it's a strategic goals meeting. It's basically trying to give a direction to our district, which also includes the safety of the students as well.
And so who does that come from? Who's involved in that?
I don't have the names. I know.
Is it a parent?
Part of my comments.
Yeah, okay, part of his comments that he'll bring later. I know it's you've got parents from every, that represent grade levels as far as elementary, middle school, high school, as well as teachers, as well as...
Well, I think it would be a benefit. I would expect Mr. Brown to reach out to me. I think that would be a benefit.
We won't be reaching out. We have a committee that's already established, and we're working on some things already. There'll be other subcommittees that will take place later on.
Okay. I'd like to get some information on that, if possible.
Yeah, we will look at it, and like I said, you have my number. You know where I live. Feel free. You may call stop by any time, and we'll continue to work with these. Hopefully, we will get this stuff taken care of, a lot of these items you suggested prior to the beginning of the next school year.
Yeah, there are a lot of things listed. I'd like to get some resolve on these. I'd appreciate that.
All right, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we have a drill team presentation by someone whose not name is listed. We have someone here for the drill team presentation. Come on down.
We have some students here.
Students? Okay. Again, same thing, just kind of tell your name, where you live, and your purpose.
Hi, I'm Depisha Casey. I'm not from Reynoldsburg, but I live in Reynoldsburg.
Hello, I'm Denise Mano, and I live in Reynoldsburg, too.
And we're here to convince you to approve our drill team that we would like to start in Reynoldsburg.
Thank you.
We actually had a presentation.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine, just to make sure we can hear everything.
There you go. You got to get used to that.
I had a presentation. Is there any way that we can pull that up? I emailed it to you. Did I need to bring a flash drive? I wasn't aware of that.
Did you email it to me?
Yeah. I emailed it to Mr. Begany.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. Then that's on that. I didn't know it was emailed to that you had the presentation attached to it.
I did. I had the presentation on the proposal. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I mean, let's see if I can pull it. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about it while I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, okay. So we would like to have a drill team at Reynoldsburg because we think that it would be beneficial to students. And if you don't know, a drill team is basically a way of dance that people express themselves in. It's very unison. It's like the military type of style dance. We think that this would open many doors for students who are interested in dance and enjoy dance. Drill team is also a very big confidence booster, just as way any like musical theater would be. And we just want like a group where people have an outlet to express themselves through dance and music and stuff like that. I know we already do have some at Encore, but we would like to open this to all academies so that not just students at Encores can do dance and just express themselves.
I'm going to ask just a quick question while Mr. Begany is working on that, because when I think of, I don't have band kids, so I go and I've seen some band competitions and what have you, and there are people who do flags and rifles and things like this. So how does that differ from the drill team?
I personally feel that dance is more of like a self-expression type of way, like where you...
So there's more dance in...
It's like a dance type of thing. There's not really props. It's just you as a person is your own like prop, and you sort of like express yourself through dance.
Okay.
And movement.
And where do you perform?
Usually it's at football games, but since we've gotten such a late start, we were hoping to sort of debut at the homecoming football game. I have talked to the coach about this. And then do basketball seasons this year just to see how it goes.
Okay. So is that part of like halftime?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting a better idea.
So when you were comparing this to... The program that they have at Encore.
Yes.
You're looking for this to be an extracurricular instead of classes or for a grade or anything?
No. This would be like an after school type of, like a sport type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is this something you would be working in conjunction like with the band? Because the band comes out and then...
Yeah. We've talked to...
They have their flags and everything.
Yeah, we've talked to the director of the band and he said that we could give him music that we would like to dance to. and he would play it for us or try to get us to, as long as it's like appropriate and everything.
Meeting is adjourned.